A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Christ is mediator of a new covenant, since a death has taken place for deliverance from transgressions under the first covenant. Those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. For Christ did not enter into a sanctuary made by hands, a copy of the true one, but heaven itself, that he might now appear before God on our behalf, not that he might offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters each year into the sanctuary with blood that is not his own. If that were so, he would have had to suffer repeatedly from the foundation of the world. But now, once for all, he has appeared at the end of the ages to take away sin by his sacrifice, just as it is important that human beings die once, and after this, the judgment, so also Christ, offered once to take away the sins of many, but will appear a second time, not to take away sin, but to bring salvation to those who eagerly await him. Verbum Domini. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous deeds. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wondrous deeds. His right hand has won victory for him, his holy arm.
Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous deeds.
The Lord has made his salvation known. In the sight of the nations he has revealed his justice. He has remembered his kindness and his faithfulness toward the house of Israel.
Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous deeds.
All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation by our God. Sing joyfully to the Lord, all you lands. Break into song, sing praise.
Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous deeds.
Sing praise to the Lord with the harp and melodious song, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Sing joyfully before the King, the Lord.
Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Marcum.
Gloria tibi Domine.
The scribes who had come from Jerusalem said of Jesus, "He is possessed by Beelzebul." And by the prince of demons, he drives out demons. Summoning them, he began to speak to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. That is the end of him. But no one can enter a strong man's house to plunder his property unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can plunder his house. Amen, I say to you, all sins and all blasphemies that people utter will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an everlasting sin. For they had said, he has an unclean spirit. Verbum Domini. Many of you remember our dear friend and who had come here to daily mass for so many years, passed away a couple of years ago now, Jennifer, and the great devotion she had, her struggle with cancer. And she eventually lost that physical battle of this earth, but she knew the stronger one, someone who is stronger than death, who conquered the reign of death brought about by Satan, Jesus Christ. And now, please God, enjoys eternal life with him forever. And her husband, they would talk about, you know, when they had first met, and Robert was going to introduce her to his only Spanish-speaking mother. And so he's teaching Jennifer, who doesn't know any Spanish, this particular phrase. He says, this will say, well, nice to meet you. So he gets her to say it exactly as he wanted her to say it. Well, what she was saying was actually, my, you're a fat one. So they had that kind of, you know, teasing relationship. But Jennifer told me not too long before she passed away was that when Robert had taken her to the Catholic Mass for the very first time, she had never been to a Catholic Mass. She had been raised in the Protestant faith. But when he took her to the Catholic Mass for the very first time, that very first time, she knew that's what she wanted. That's what she wanted. She wanted to become Catholic. She wanted the Mass. And she had a profound love for the Blessed Sacrament. That was one of her great sorrows at the end because of her condition, being unable to able to receive. But then we found a way just to give her a drop of the precious blood when we had Mass in their home. And so it was the Mass that really she encountered Christ, and she was just drawn to him. And I thought today, in light of the letter to the Hebrews that we have, where this letter speaks of this new covenant, and we repeat those words at every Mass, the new and everlasting covenant. And this is something that we're renewing right now, this morning. And today's first reading spoke about these words. Christ is mediator of a new covenant. And those who are called that they may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And so this new covenant is a fulfillment and completion of that old covenant, the first covenant. And that the mediator was Moses. And God promises those people, the chosen people, Israel, an inheritance on this earth, the land that he promises them, their inheritance. And the law is a way that they're going to live on this inheritance. But Christ is now a mediator of a new covenant, of this eternal inheritance. He's a mediator of a new covenant that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. And then it speaks about how Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by hands, not the temple like the high priest did year after year after year. But once and for all, he has entered heaven itself. Why? To appear before God on our behalf. On our behalf. That's why he accomplished all that he did. That's why he establishes this new covenant, that we might have this eternal inheritance. And now he is there before God the Father, interceding on our behalf. Yesterday, in our divine office, we had a reading from the Second Vatican Council on the Sacred Liturgy. And I always appreciate this reading every year that we have it, because it mentions the sacred liturgy and how Christ is present to his church. And it says, especially in the actions of the liturgy. And then it lists six different elements of the liturgy that we are celebrating today in which Christ is present. He is present in the sacrifice of the Mass. So we are present at a sacrifice, the once and for all sacrifice. The letter to the Hebrews speaks of how the high priest would go year after year, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. But now Christ, once and for all, that he has laid down his life, the perfect sacrifice, acceptable to the Father. And so we are present at that sacrifice, and the fruits are communicated to us. Yes, it happened once for all, but how do we benefit from it? Through the Mass, through the sacred liturgy, that what he accomplished then is communicated now to us. It's not repeated, but it's represented. It's made present to us. Calvary and all that he accomplished for our salvation. So Christ is always present to his church, especially in the actions of the liturgy. He is present in the sacrifice of the Mass. Two, in the person of the minister, the priest. It is the same Christ who formerly offered himself on the cross that now offers himself by the ministry of priests, or now offers by the ministry of priests. It's the same offering taking place, but now through the ministry of priests. I'm acting in persona Christi, in the person of Christ, who is the bridegroom. You are the bride. And so this is taking place, that you're being joined with Christ through the priest. The same offering now by the hands of the priest being made to the Father. Present in the sacrifice of the Mass, present in the minister. Thirdly, most of all, under the Eucharistic species. Fourth, he is present in the sacraments. We have seven sacraments. He's present in the sacraments by his power in such a way that when someone baptizes, Christ himself baptizes. You know, Dan Burke tells the story of his own father who was always, he said, Dan, if religion's important to you, then that's good. I'm glad it helps you. But he was not interested. But at the end of his life, he was having some significant pain. And Dan, of course, had been praying for him for so long. And in the middle of the night, he feels inspired to go to his hospital room. Dad, I want to see you in heaven. Would you like to be baptized? And he accepts to be baptized. So Dan grabs a cup there in the hospital room, fills it up with the faucet and the sink. I baptize you in the name of the Father. And his dad says, wow. And of the Son, wow. And of the Holy Spirit, wow. he experiences Christ himself baptizing, the power of Christ at work in the sacraments. And thankfully, he was able to receive the other sacraments before his death. So, fourth, Christ is present in the sacraments by his power in such a way that when someone baptizes, Christ himself baptizes. He is present, fifthly, in his word, we just heard proclaimed. For it is he himself who speaks when the Holy Scriptures are read in the church. You know, we had a beautiful Mass yesterday. I hope you had a chance to see it. It's free on demand if you want to see it. For those who are hard of hearing, who are deaf, the Catholic Office, the National Catholic Office for the Deaf was here with so many of those members who were there. And Bishop Reka spoke about the need for all of us to hear God's word. And even if you don't have physical hearing, and so we had Father Linus doing the sign language, American Sign Language, to communicate God's word, that there's ways that that is communicated to them, that we have closed captioning, which is very helpful, and they actually expressed their gratitude when I gave them a tour. But there's also that sign language is in a way that they can communicate even more effectively with emotion. So I learned how to say Jesus. Do you know how to say Jesus in sign language? Isn't that beautiful? This is how you say Jesus in sign language. His wounds, right? Recalling his wounds. And then how do you say Jesus loves me? Jesus loves me. And how do you say Jesus loves you? Jesus loves you. So that's a simple way you could evangelize somebody who doesn't have the gift of hearing, but they know American Sign Language. Very simple, right? Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. And that's the basic message where I spoke about the letter to the Hebrews. He's appeared to God, why? On our behalf. That's why. Not for his benefit, but for ours. And so that's really true. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. So that's the fifth component, that he is present in his word, for it is he himself who speaks when the Holy Scriptures are read in the church. And finally, number sixth, he is present when the church prays and sings, when we are gathered together. For he himself promised, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in their midst. Now, what does this accomplish, what we are doing here this morning? Of course, it's Christ's work, what he is doing in this sacred liturgy. Indeed, in this great work, which gives perfect glory to God, it's our highest worship, the highest prayer we can offer. Why? Because it's Christ himself who is offering. He's our head. We are his body. And so we're offering the highest worship through him. It gives perfect glory to God, and it brings holiness to men. We receive graces and abundance. Christ is always joining in partnership with himself, his beloved bride, the church, which calls upon its Lord and through him gives worship to the eternal Father. And you know, that's why that we are able to offer a worship in a much higher degree because of baptism, because we're in Christ. And it's in him and through him and with him that we can offer this perfect worship and praise and prayer to God. It's because of Christ. Think about that. At every Mass that you attend, all of these ways, he He's present in the actions of the liturgy and the sacrifice of the Mass and the person of the minister, most of all under the Eucharistic species, in the sacraments by his power and his word. It's he himself who speaks when the Holy Scriptures are read, and finally when the church prays and sings. And then the conclusion of yesterday's reading in the office, in the liturgy on earth, we are given a foretaste and share in the liturgy of heaven. Do you know you're united to heaven right now? You're given a little foretaste, a share in heaven. We are given a foretaste and a share in the liturgy of heaven, celebrated in the holy city, the heavenly Jerusalem, the goal of our pilgrimage. Jennifer knew that. She knew where she was headed. She knew who the stronger one was. And she wanted to be united with him in the greatest way possible. And thankfully, Father John Paul and I were able to offer Mass for her toward the end of her life and her family. With the whole company of heaven, we sing a hymn of praise to the Lord. As we reverence the memory of the saints we recall throughout the liturgical year, we hope to have some part with them and to share in their fellowship. That's the goal. That's where we're headed. That's what we have a foretaste of. That is the gift of the sacred liturgy.